Morning, and we are going to return to the book of Revelation, and my title is The Message of Three Angels and Palm Sunday. And you're going to think, wow, how do we tie Revelation in with Palm Sunday? And so you're going to learn that this morning. And so I want to start in the book of Matthew chapter 21 verses 1 through 11, and you know that story, but we're going to read it again. It's familiar for Palm Sunday. It's the triumphal entry. And then we'll go back to Revelation chapter 14. And if you're at home, I encourage you to grab your Bible and follow along as you read together the word of the Lord. Matthew 21, verse 1 through 11. Jesus comes to Jerusalem as king, is what it's titled. As they approached Jerusalem and came to Bethphage on the Mount of Olives, Jesus sent two disciples, saying to them, "Go to the village ahead of you, and at once you will find a donkey tied there, with her colt by her. Untie them and bring them to me. If anyone says anything to you, say that the Lord needs them, and he will send them right away." This took place to fulfill what it was spoken through the prophet. "Say to daughter Zion, see, your kingdom comes to you, gentle and riding on a donkey, and on a colt, the foal of a donkey." The disciples went and did this. Jesus did as Jesus instructed them. They brought the donkey and the colt and placed their cloaks on them for Jesus to sit on. A very large crowd spread their cloaks on the road, while others cut branches from the trees and spread them on the road. The crowds that went ahead of him and those that followed shouted, "Hosanna to the Son of David! Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord! Hosanna in the highest heaven!" When Jesus entered Jerusalem, the whole city was stirred and asked, "Who is this?" And the crowds answered, "This is Jesus, the prophet from Nazareth in Galilee." And then to Revelation chapter 14. We're going to read verses 6 through 13 this morning. And the title of this segment in Revelation is called The Three Angels. Now, this is prophecy this morning, so this is to come yet. But let us read together. "Then I saw another angel flying in midair, and he had the eternal gospel to proclaim to those who live on earth, to every nation, tribe, language, and people. He said in a loud voice, 'Fear God and give him glory, because the hour of his judgment has come. Worship him who made the heavens, the earth, and the sea, and the springs of water.' A second angel followed and said, 'Fallen, fallen is Babylon the Great, which made all the nations drink the maddening wine of her adulteries.' A third angel followed them and said in a loud voice, 'If anyone worships the beast and its image and receives its mark on their forehead or on their hand, they too will drink the wine of God's fury, which has been poured full strength into the cup of his wrath. They will be tormented with burning sulfur in the presence of the holy angels and of the Lamb. And the smoke of their torment will rise forever and ever. There will be no rest day or night for those who worship the beast and its image, or for anyone who receives the mark of its name. This calls for patient endurance on the part of the people of God who keep his commands and remain faithful to Jesus. Then I heard a voice from heaven say, 'Write this: Blessed are the dead who die in the Lord from now on. Yes, says the Spirit, they will rest from their labor, for their deeds will follow them.'" The reading of the word of the Lord. Let us pray. Dear Heavenly Father, as we've opened your word and read from it, may you bring that word to life. Lord, I pray that these words are your words today and not mine. I pray for that Holy Spirit to fill me as I preach your word. And I pray for those that are gathered here and in their homes, Lord, that you send that same Spirit, open their hearts, minds, and souls to receive your message today. In Jesus we pray, amen. Today, we know, is Palm Sunday, the beginning of Holy Week for Christians. Jesus rode into Jerusalem, and the crowds cheered and were excited to see him. Some asked, "Who is this?" And others responded, "This is Jesus of Nazareth." Life was filled with hope. The future looked good. But then 5 days later, their lives and humanity was turned totally upside down. Think about that week for a moment. For many of us this morning, life seems to be turned upside down in the world that you and I live in today. I want you to think back to that first Holy Week. I want you to think about Mary, for Peter and Andrew, James and John, and the other followers of Christ. Life was turned upside down for them as well. They wondered, what was next? How could this be? This is not how it's supposed to go. But let me remind us that this triumphal entry led to even a greater triumph for all of us. They just didn't fully understand. And some days, I don't think we fully understand maybe what we're living in as well today, right now. But here's what I want you to imagine with me for a moment. That Jesus is so proud of your life and the way that you've lived that he offers you as a living sacrifice to his Father in heaven. As you stand before the Heavenly Father, Jesus says, this one is worth keeping. This one has been redeemed. Here's the question I have for you this morning, and I'll have a few questions for you today in your faith journey, but here's my first one this morning I want you to think about. How do I stand before the Heavenly Father and be presented by Jesus in this way that I just explained to you this morning? How will that happen? What will that look like? What do I need to do in my life for that to happen? So we'll answer that this morning. To be redeemed by Christ and to live with him in heaven one day. That's our goal. That's what we want. How do we do that? Often, we like the same old stories. Today is not your traditional Palm Sunday service in so many ways. Even my message will be a little bit different for you this morning as we bring in the book of Revelation alongside the triumphal entry of Jesus Christ. So I'd like to challenge you this morning to stick with me as we study this section of Revelation and how it relates to Palm Sunday. And if you have your Bibles open with me, follow along. If you're at home this morning, keep your Bible open. These first set of verses, Revelation 14, verses 6 through 7. I'm not going to read all of them because we just did that. But this morning in the 14th chapter of Revelation, there are three ministering angels who are sent by God to earth. Now remember, I said this is prophecy. This is to come. We haven't experienced this yet. But they are sent to warn creation about the impending end of the world. And by no means do I want to preach that the end is coming or that it's close. That is not for us to worry about, especially in the days that we're living in now. But these angels were constantly at work as servants of the Lord. And often they used to convey messages physically to this world in the end times. People will know what's happening. Christians will know what's going on. And so these three angels that are appearing to humanity are for one purpose. To show humanity that they are being terribly deceived by Satan in the world that you and I live in. They come to make us aware of the things that are going on, maybe in our lives or maybe in the way that the world is living, wherever it might be. And so the first angel was proclaiming the everlasting gospel in verses 6 and 7. One that shall never be snuffed out, will live forever. And we've seen this over and over. And God says, seek salvation now. Pretty simple message. Don't wait because life can change so quickly. Things that you and I live in that we're used to from day to day, look how they've been disrupted. So quickly. And God says, life can be this way. You need to be prepared. Many think that they'll get right with God right at the end of their life. But let me ask you this. When will your life end? Everybody thinks they're going to live to be an old age. Not necessarily for sure. When will life end? So what if you're not alive and you don't have that opportunity to be right with God? What then? The message is that we need to ask for forgiveness. The Bible uses the word repent from time to time, to turn from our sins and turn to the Lord. And let me tell you, this is nothing new in this message. Let me give you a few reminders this morning, because Noah preached this for 120 years, some 6,000 years ago before the flood. He said, turn to the Lord. It is the same message that the angels proclaimed to Sodom and Gomorrah. Change your ways. It's the same message that Jonah preached to Nineveh. Change your ways. It's the same message that Moses declared to Egypt. If you don't change your ways, devastation will come upon the earth. It's the same message that Jesus preached regarding the destruction of Jerusalem. See, the message is universal. It's without end. It is what we need to hear. Jesus wants us to understand this message. He wants us to get this message. Let me give you a few statistics, and this has probably gone up in the last several weeks, but did you know that 56 million people die each year? Each year, 56 million people die. And so now put that into a daily figure for you to give you an understanding. Upon this earth that you and I live in, 153,424 people die every day on this earth. Some of those people you and I know have passed away or maybe will pass away here in the future. That's a lot of people. And the Bible is very clear. It says that more will be cast into hell than will be enter into heaven. That's a big number. The world needs to hear this good news, this message. That's what the first angel comes for, to bring the good news, to turn to God in times, not only of good times, but in hard times, difficult times, but always in our life that we should do that. Now let's talk about the second angel here this morning. Revelation 14 verse 8, if you're following along in your Bible, the second angel speaks to us in that verse. The second angel preaches so that the whole earth can hear at once. Now, I don't know how that's going to be, but that's what the Bible says, that when that word gets spoken, everyone will hear, no matter where you are. And notice that it talks about the city of Babylon. Fallen, fallen is Babylon the Great. Babylon is thought to be many different locations where sinful activity reigns in the world. That's what it's believed to be. So it's a figurative name. Babylon was a great city. It was wiped out and destroyed. Just like that figurative name will come someday in the world that you and I live in. There will be one location that will be obvious to all of us, is what the book of Revelation says. This will be the area that people will recognize. They will know it well. People will understand it well. And the Bible refers to that as the future city of Babylon. And not good things go on in this city. It'll be the economic capital of the world, according to Revelation verse 18, if you want to read a little bit more about the city of Babylon in your studies or whatever this week. Revelation 18 talks about this economic capital of the world. Now, I don't think that that city's been defined for us yet today. I don't think we know what it is. But I wonder what your thoughts are. If I was to ask you, what do you see as the economic powerhouse in the world today? Think about that for a moment in your mind. What city would that be? If you had to pick a city with worldly economic influence, what city would that be? I have one in mind. I'm wondering if you'll guess the same city that I'm thinking of. Would New York come to mind? The economic powerhouse of the world? That everybody focuses on. And the Bible says that Satan would run wild in this earthly city, and many would follow its ways of the city. Now, I'm not preaching condemnation on anybody or any city or anything like that. And I don't know what will come in the future or what city this will be. But this is what the Bible warns us of. That second angel says, be careful because the deception will come in the world that you and I live in. And for Christians, we need to be aware of that. God's angels are declaring that the one the world trusts in will fall, and it will fall quickly. Whoever thought that the world that you and I live in today, that our whole economic system would be dumped upside down within a few weeks? That the stock market at an all-time high has now gone on to 21,000 in just a few short weeks. I don't think this is the end, because the end will be way more devastating than what we see now. I think this is a wake-up call for you and I and for the world as COVID-19 spreads around the earth. And we always have to ask ourselves a question in the midst of what's going on. Is God, what are you trying to tell us? What are you trying to show us in the world that you and I live in? But this angel is the warning of destruction of this future world capital. This angel comes to bring a strong warning for all humanity to hear about sin. Be vigilant, is what this angel says. Be aware, be awake. And here's the message. If you want to partake in sinful ways of the world, fine. But this angel says there will be consequences, is what this angel says. And the third angel gives us those consequences. And in your scripture, it's Revelation chapter 14, verses 9 through 11. We see the consequences that the third angel talks about. And what I want to stress here is that this ought to be an encouragement to us. And you might think, how is this encouraging today? To be vigilant. So hold on to that thought. But sometimes we just have to be honest with ourselves, and we need to just take the Bible at what it says and listen closely for our lies. Because this angel is declaring that those who worship the beast or take his mark are guilty of breaking the first three commandments. And you know what they are, and I have them on the screen for you this morning. Let me get to the next screen. Here it is in the middle. Exodus 20. You shall have no other gods before me. You shall not make for yourself an image. You shall not misuse the name of the Lord your God in vain. You know those commandments. And that third angel is saying that when we venture from God, we break those first three commandments in our lives. And so the third angel is crying out in a loud voice, an audible voice that's warning you, be careful, Christian. Satan will deceive you in your life. This angel's warning was not only clear, or will be clear to those that hear, but it should be clear to us today in our own lives. And the reality is, we are a people who can be very easily deceived in this world. We need to be sure that we are on solid ground following Jesus all the time in our life. And that is where believers can find truth and comfort, which we all need right now. In the Word of God, drawing closer to Jesus in our lives. God is specific to us when he tells us how we should be living. He lays it out for us. Now, I'm not saying that we're perfect or that we don't have sin, and that's what the grace of Christ is about, and that's why he came through this Holy Week, and we'll celebrate that next week as well. But he's a jealous God. And he's worthy of our love, our service, and our respect. Those who are guilty of this will share in the same punishment as the beast. Here comes the consequences. They're not such easy consequences, but it's spelled out for us. And let me just tell you, you know, when you live in this world, and you and I both are there today, and we get this, but I believe today that a lot of people think that hell is going to be some kind of a country club where all the bad people go in the world and they hang out and they can drink beer all day. That's the image that I get, that people think this is what hell's going to be like. I'll be there with my buddies and we'll have a good time down there. And that is so untrue. That is not what the Bible teaches. Or I hear the other side of it. I hear people say this, what it's even more scarier. I hope I'm good enough to make it to heaven. None of us are good enough to make it to heaven. That's why Jesus came. That's why you and I need Jesus Christ. That's the deception that you and I live in today. Are we fearful of our Lord? And so let me give you a little bit of a picture. People always want to know more about what this is about. So let me give you a picture of what hell will look like. And it's described here in Revelation 14, and verses 10, 11, and so on, if you want to look and follow along with me in your scripture this morning. So what is it really going to be about? And so look at these verses. Take a look at how God speaks this to us, that we might know as followers of Jesus of what this place of hell will look like. And it's not going to be that great country club that people think all the bad people are going to go and we're going to hang out and have a great party. That's not it at all. Verse 10 says, he or she will be tormented. What does the word tormented mean? Let's define that. The Greek translation of torment is the word bazanazu, which means to torture. Now, I don't think many of us have been tortured a whole lot in our lives. Maybe you're sitting there at home today and you don't dare go to the grocery store, but you're out of peanut butter. That might be the worst thing that's going on today. But let me tell you what, hell will be a lot worse than that. Tortured. The individual who chooses Satan or his ways will be in pain and toil. They will suffer eternally for the rest of their lives. See, I don't think people realize that. Some people think that their life will just be snuffed out and it'll be gone. But the Bible says that hell is an eternal place of torment. It will never end. Just like heaven is an eternal place with the glory of God. It will never end. And then it goes on to say, how will they be tortured? And it says, by burning sulfur. And the method of their torment will involve fire and brimstone in the presence of the angels and Christ. Not a good picture. They have no rest day or night. 24 hours a day, there will be no break, no rest from torment to those who choose Satan, is what the Bible tells us. And we get this threefold description of their satanic choice. This is what people will do that gravitate towards Satan or sin in their lives. They will worship the beast. They will worship the image. They will receive the mark of his name. And so many people, and we'll discuss this later on, and we get the mark of the beast as 666. Simply what that means, it's sinful man. And it's not a physical mark that'll be posting on your forehead or on your arm, I believe is what it'll be, and I'm going to ask you this question. It simply is, where does your allegiance lie, with Christ or with Satan? And that's told by your heart, not by your outward appearance or what you might have on your body. For most people, to discuss hell, it is a very uncomfortable topic. And maybe even at times, might even be offensive to some people because they don't want to go there. But let me say this to you this morning. You and I are going to one place or the other. That's the fact. So here's my question for you today. Remember I said I'm going to have a few questions for you. The question I want you to think about today is, who is your allegiance two. Now, before you answer that flippantly, I want you to think about, what does my life look like and who am I aligned with in my life? How am I living that life? And you might say, well, it depends on the day. And that might be very true. But I hope that most of your days are aligned with Jesus Christ in the way that he wants you to live. So what I just shared with you this morning, Some of you will say, this isn't a feel-good message for Palm Sunday. But let me also say that after the first Holy Week, there was a great hope. And Revelation talks about that. Verses 12 through 14, excuse me, 13, speak of that. And so verse 12, it says, this calls for patient endurance on the part of the people of God who keep his commands and remain faithful to Jesus Christ. There's our encouragement for us here this morning. We need that endurance that Christ talks about that sustains us through the tough times of life. And I believe one of those tough times we're going through right now. Whatever might be going on in your world, in your family, with your job, in the world that you live in, maybe you have COVID, maybe you don't, maybe you're fearful of it, maybe you're not, but there are tough times that we're living in right now. And you might think, well, why do we need that endurance? Why do we need that? And here's your answer, because God is faithful to his people. He's faithful to provide for those who serve and live for him. Remember where your allegiance is? God is faithful to those who are allegiance towards him in their lives, who live for him in their lives. And then it goes on to verse 13. It talks about those who have died are blessed. I stood over many graves in my 10 years of ministry, and I've recited this verse many times at the graveyard. And here it is. Blessed are the dead who die in the Lord. From now on, they will rest from their labors. Hear that. Blessed are the dead who die in the Lord from now on. Yes, says the Spirit, they will rest from their labor, for their deeds will follow them. And it says that simply, those who go through tough times, they will be rewarded in the end. They will be blessed by God in the end. You might not see the blessing today or this year or the next year, but God says you will be blessed for standing the trial. Endurance is the word that's spoken to us today as a word of encouragement. And let me also remind you this morning that as the good Lord looks down over top of this world, we are being encouraged from the balconies of heaven. Stay true. Keep on fighting for Jesus. Don't give up. Hold on. Even this very moment, God and his angels are encouraging us. The angelic world is hard at work fighting for you and I and our faith journey. So here comes another question for you this morning, another challenge for you this morning. Where is your focus today? I asked you that same question 2 weeks ago. Are we focusing on COVID-19 and the fears that might go with that? Or are we focusing on Jesus Christ first in our lives? Is your focus 100% on Jesus? And you can say, and I could say, no, it's not always there. Is it 80%? Is it 50%? See, I don't care what the percentage is, but what I want you to be aware of and what I do care about is that percentage going up. I'm focusing more on Christ every day that I live. Now, you might have days you might slip back a little bit, but regain that from day to day. Especially coming into Holy Week this week, I want you to think about that percentage and I want you to see if you can raise that a little. Where is your focus today? And be honest with yourself. God knows exactly where it's at. You can't fool him. And he's okay with that. But is it growing in your life? So here's the million-dollar question this morning. So how does this prophecy fit with Palm Sunday? These three ministering angels. So we just read the story of the triumphal entry of Jesus into Jerusalem. They were lavishing him with praise. They're laying out palm branches. You see here, we got these this morning to give you an idea of what that day was like. They're taking their coats off. They're laying them on the ground. They're celebrating the coming of this Messiah. And then you wonder, why were they celebrating so much? What was the reason? And let me give you some more things to think about this morning. As they are praising Jesus, it was not because they saw him as the Messiah. You think, wow, really? Here's what they were hoping for in their lives, because life was tough for in the city of Jerusalem. Life was tough for those people who were followers of Jesus Christ. They welcomed him out of their desire for a deliverer. They wanted something different in their lives. And they had hope in this person called Jesus that was going to change everything for them. That's what they hoped for. Now, there was believers in attendance, and their hearts were committed, and their allegiance was to Christ, no doubt about that. But there were probably many in that city that were on the fringes, stood at arm's length, looking for a deliverer, a white knight to ride into the city and to just kind of clean things up for them and get rid of the evil and the darkness, that life would be better. Already tomorrow is what they had hoped for. So standing in that procession along the streets were probably many people who didn't believe in Jesus Christ as the Messiah, but they had hope of something different, something better. And maybe many would come to believe in the next several weeks, and we know the rest of the story of how this week plays out, but they had hoped he would do something to change their circumstances. Here's what I want you to understand this morning. This is for you and I yet today, because we hope for a change in our circumstances today. But you and I need to realize that there is something way more eternal about Jesus entering into Jerusalem that expanded out to the entire world for many generations. Not just that day, not just that week, but for eternity. And I'm thankful for that, because that includes you and I. And Jesus rode in, "Hosanna to the Son of David. Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. Hosanna in the highest heaven." Jesus knew that in his heart, many of these